Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through Friday,
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
I do have a take.
Point of contention.
KD could be a head coach. I could be a head coach.
Welcome to Point of Contention. Five subjects, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention. Coming up in the Athletic NBA Show's Point of Contention, lackadaisical Lakers calling out of work. More ass from the NBA. Where do the Bucks stop? And foul hunting non-James Harden edition. I'm Zach Harper, the host of POC, Jade Hoy's producing. In this corner, Bay Area legend, author of two best-selling books about the Warriors, Marcus Thompson. Marcus, how close is Alex Caruso to wearing a white beanie out on the floor?
Yo, that was hilarious. It was so, as soon as I saw that, I forgot who even said it, but as soon as I saw it, I was like, yo, that's exactly what's happening. It's literally, he cut the top off a white beanie. I keep it on. All he needs is like, you can't touch this on the front. Like, go old school with the hammer reference.
And in this corner, Flint, Michigan native, the author of a future book about the Pistons called Victory, Finally, How the Pistons Made the 2029 Playoffs, James Edward 3.0. James, have you ever met Eminem?
Funny story. First game at LCA, 2017, Pistons new arena. He was doing the opening performance, and he drove by in like one of those security golf carts, all black, black J's, black hoodie, black jeans, about 3 feet in front of me. And it was like, you always hear that cliche, he feels larger than life. And I'm like, I like Eminem. I'm not the biggest fan in the world anymore, but like it felt like that. I had never seen him in person. So I haven't met him, but I have seen him. I have been close to him. I could smell him.
I walked right next to Vanilla Ice at a Wolves game one time because he was the halftime show. So same. Feel like
exact same.
Had the same
exact
story.
Same.
Yeah. Exact same. All right, Jade. Speaking of keeping things under wraps, that's not a great one. Start the clock, Jade. Take one. Are the Lakers even trying? On Monday, the Lakers and the Warriors squared off in a pretty, pretty, pretty good game that the Dubs pulled off in the end. Lakers squandered a 19-point lead, and for a brief moment, Golden State felt that dynastic joy once again. Quote, it was a blast from the past, unquote, from one Steph Curry. But one could not help but notice the Lakers playing in slow motion. Even at the end, when James was inbounding, he threw a, here you guys have it, pass that was intercepted. It was almost as if he was setting himself up to try to shoot the game winner, which he did end up taking and missing. So, guys, does this tell us about how good the Lakers team is? And conversely, what does this tell us about how good the Warriors are? Marcus, we'll start with you.
I don't think it says anything about how good the Lakers are. It says, Like how chilling they are, definitely. We've seen this from the Lakers all year. Like, they started off a little hard, but lately, maybe the last six or seven games, they make a habit of chilling and flipping a switch, which is what every great team does, right? If you win a championship and now the emphasis of the season is on the playoffs and win a championship, you chill during the regular season. The only problem with the Lakers is they got caught slipping, and that's it. So I think it tells us more about the Warriors that they were able to catch them slipping, because it was a close game, and at that point you expected LeBron or AD to take over, and it didn't feel like they didn't as much as they couldn't, which was weird. But I mean, LeBron traveled twice, so he wasn't the most locked in, right? Like regular also, Kelly Oubre foot shuffling travels, right? It wasn't even like typical LeBron travels.
He just gave
travels.
The ball to Horton Tucker on the last possession, who then gave the ball to Alex Caruso, who then like had a stroke or something before Frank Vogel called timeout. I was like, all right, let's just get the ball to LeBron.
That
guys.
Beanie was too tight, but it was like, I just yeah, I do think for the Warriors, and you know, when you're in the middle of the pack, these games mean a lot, right? So for the Warriors, for them, it's like, so look, yeah, if Kelly Oubre plays well and you put it all together and not a great game from Steph, you can beat the Lakers on a game. But for the Lakers, it doesn't mean anything except maybe they shouldn't be messing around.
James, I had in the power rankings this week that the Lakers are dominant, but they're sleepwalking, which actually makes the dominance even more dominant. Because it's actually more impressive that they're sleepwalking and destroying most of these games.
Right. Now, I feel like I always get on this show called Point of Contention and agree with Marcus. And again, I'm going to do it. Every year, it's not just this year with the Lakers. Any LeBron team, I feel like the narrative for like a month is, are they sleepwalking, whether it's the Cavs, the Heat, the Lakers at the beginning of the year, at the end of the year. And we all know it doesn't matter when you have that core group of guys who are trying to win championships. They know when to turn it off and turn it on. I think it might say more about the Warriors, the Lakers' performance the other night. I mean, that respect isn't there anymore. They look across the floor and think they can win those games just half run and half motion and LeBron traveling. I mean, is Kent Bazemore scaring anybody? Is Brad Wanamaker's 17 minutes going to do anything? I mean, it did on that night, but I totally understand why the Lakers are looking across the floor and like, these are not the Warriors that we need to be worried about. And those Warriors, for at least the time being, are nowhere to be found.
Yeah, they're kind of gone. But I tell you what, they better be scared of Eric Pascanimal. Because he was D-boying.
He was balling. He's on my fantasy team, too. And he almost got cut like 3 weeks ago. And then he turned it up. I needed that 8 of 11 that he gave me the other night.
Motivation.
Zach, you know what's interesting? Something we should probably watch. Just pay close attention
James's
to.
Not fantasy team?
No, 0-5 with a bunch of subscribers from The Athletic. I'm 0-5 with fans. Like,
you're losing
what am I
to
doing?
Writers. That's all bad. You're trash.
No, I'm losing to fans.
That's bad. It's very interesting. It's interesting how no matter what the setting, Anthony Davis struggles against Draymond. Like, can he just get over this already? Like, this he wasn't weird. Even. It's just weird. Like, I mean, obviously Draymond is like an all time great defender, but like even with this team with like no defensive center behind you, like no Andre Iguodala, right. Like you come on, AD, step it up.
It looks like the Lakers aren't trying and they're not trying. They have the best defense in the league, which is scary.
They shouldn't be trying, to be honest, right? Like, what are we doing? Like,
no, they don't need to try until like May, right? Like second round, whenever that is, that's when they need to start.
And they've been blowing everybody out prior to that game. I think they had, I think three or four double digit wins, significant double digit. They're fine. I think it was more to say about how they view the Warriors now. And then also just having the occasional, NBA schedule off night.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Man, they were honoring the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King by taking care of the impoverished. That's all. They were given the Warriors in a time of struggle, you know, something to look forward to, some hope. Like, that was very MLK of them.
You got to, I mean, knowledge is power.
Well, there's no way I can
come on, Zach. That's a softball transition.
No. I had a perfect transition.
Oh, you had a great transition
set up,
that
and
I killed?
You threw the MLK card into the bunch. There's no way to properly transition from that. I have a dream.
Speaking of dreams.
Take two. Right, I don't know what to do. Yeah, take two. How hard is it to call out of work? Oh, wait, hold on. Here we go. Fix this in post, Jade. Or don't. You can just leave all this in. A lot of people had the day off on Monday because of the great Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Speaking of calling out of work, guys, 1 week ago today, the Nets made a blockbuster deal to get James Harden to Brooklyn, forming the best trio of players in the NBA. That's KD, Kyrie, and the aforementioned James Harden. But Kyrie's sabbatical is still a bit of a mystery and confusion on why and how Irving went AWOL still reigns. Some have speculated on whether he would retire, but Kyrie finally spoke to the media Tuesday night, saying that he took off because of a lot of family and personal stuff. When things become overwhelming in life, you just got to take a step back and realize what's important. At one point, he also just answered a question on those Zoom meetings by just nodding. No words, just nodding, which was actually, I kind of appreciated that one. The Nets have not issued any fines, and head coach Steve Nash seems to have no issue that he went missing. I think Kyrie is working really hard mentally to put himself in a great position to perform, Nash said. So, James, we'll start with you. Is it reasonable to think that everyone in the organization is cool with this?
I just want you to know I'm answering this question with my head on top of my hands as I lay on my desk. I don't know how to feel about this because, it is Kyrie. We know what he can do when he's on the floor and he's locked in and engaged. And then he does all these great things as I try to hate him, and then he does all these great things to make me not hate him. And you wonder from a basketball perspective – if it's just what you have to deal with in order to win a championship in today's games, if a player doesn't want to play or he wants to take, I mean, people forget, and it doesn't get talked about as much. Remember when LeBron just went away for 2 weeks? Everybody was kind of cool about that. Everybody was fine with that. And Kyrie went away for a little longer than 2 weeks. And it's not the same level as LeBron, of course, but it seems like when those type of players want to do something like that, you kind of got to let them. I don't know if you can trust him as a basketball player, if you can trust him to be available. I mean, Kyrie is one of those, I call him the Kanye of the NBA. He could just change his mind and go away for another month-long sabbatical. Do you deal with it? Yeah, because the payoff's probably going to be pretty good. I still, if I'm in that locker room, I don't know if I trust that guy when I know I'm going to need him most.
Well, Marcus, so at least in the two games we've seen so far, offensively, it looks pretty good with James Harden, Kevin Durant out there, right? As one would expect, but you throw Kyrie into the mix, and Kyrie has at times over the last couple of years since leaving Cleveland taken a little bit away from some team basketball, and it's looked a little smoother when he's gone, but he is so good. What do you expect from the Nets with this new big three?
This is going to be interesting, right? We're watching James Harden, yeah, get his buckets, but he started like trying to be Mr. Team Player, like passing the ball, moving it. You know, he's doing his typical thing of playmaking and finding guys, right? He's seeding to Kevin Durant at like appropriate times. Like, you can see the effort is there. I wonder if that prompts Kyrie to do it, or does Kyrie come in and say, oh, hold on, yeah, I'm not about to take all the shine, let me go out here and get my 50, you know, let me go out here and remind y'all. That's, I think, it will go a long way to tell you what this Nets team will be on how Kyrie responds. And look, he might respond the right way, he might come out and be a part of it, and it might not last. But if he doesn't come out and be a part of it, it's almost certain he won't last. And I'm interested to see how he responds, especially while he's talking about family and community and things are more important. Can he buy into the kumbaya of basketball as well? Like, I think that's going to be a big deal. And I also want to say, like, I know you posed that question to James, but Kyrie doesn't owe anybody an explanation except his team. And his mm-hmm. his teammates, right? Like, yep. We don't need an explanation. Yeah,
they sound fine with it, right?
Yeah, and they sound fine with it. I think that we should be fine with it. When he was asked the question if he was okay and he didn't answer with his words, for me, that was like, oh, man. That's when you ask somebody they all right and they don't say anything. They just nod their head. It felt like he's working through something. For me, that's where it was like, oh, okay. This might be a little bit more serious here. And that might be true. Like, obviously his communication should be better and he owes his teammates more than that. But man, like, there's something a little bit real about how he answered that question that made me say, all right, Kyrie. I mean, I was thinking the whole time, hey, bruh, make a phone call. Like, like, we all got to go to work through all this, right? Like, we all got to do it. But man, it just felt like something else was happening. And then when he answered that question and he's like, yeah, and he was looking like if the lady from church came and rubbed his back, he was going to start crying. Like, that's, you know, that's how you get the tears started. The moment you start touching, then you can't hold it anymore. That he had that look in his face. And I got a little like, oh, okay, my bad, Kyrie. I'm sorry.
Why does that back rub feel the best?
I don't know.
It does. It really does. Hey,
it does, right? It's such a toughest dude. Like, of emotions.
I was the toughest dude at my dad's funeral. I promised myself I wasn't gonna cry. I was gonna be tough, and I was good, man. I was like, I was rolling, and then somebody came up with the "it's all right, baby," and I couldn't stop it. Like, it just happened. It was like rubbing a genie bottle. Like, yo, can you put? I didn't want to do this now, but as soon as she did it, it was over. And since then, I knew about the power of the back rub.
I want to fight back on something though. What you said, and again, it's not for us to understand. I agree with that 100%. I just hope that Kyrie, the right people that need to know what happened or what's going on with them, know. Because, yeah, like you said, the answer didn't, it really shifted maybe your idea of what was happening. It was a little like, oh, okay. But this whole saga with Kyrie just feels like a show. Like, I don't know if it's tough for me to believe that. And it's, again, it's not for me to believe, but as somebody that's just watching it from the outside and seeing his moves leading up to this, I do just wonder if that's, if it is for show, to for whatever reason he was gone. It's just tough for me because of how he's acted in a basketball realm with the media, with just kind of these unique and different approaches to things, that maybe that was just a cop out and it is a show. But it's, again, it's not for me to know. I just hope the people that deserve to know do know, if he's in a good space, if what happened, whatever happened, happened, and he has somebody to talk to. But I just don't know from an outsider if it just felt like a show. But again, that's not for me to judge.
Yeah, I don't know that it's not. I don't know if I'm quite that cynical. Because, man, that would be cold blood if he's like, I think I handled this wrong. Let me act like something's wrong. Like, man, that's kind of low. Certainly. That's what he's doing.
But it is a very human thing. I'm absolutely not saying that. No, I don't question. Know him to, no to be able to say, right. But, like, there are people who absolutely. Do this.
No
like,
question.
That's a thing.
And I'm not saying it's not true. I'm not saying it's not. I don't know either way. I don't know the dude at all. But, like, if it's not, like, you almost got to be cautious that it's, you know, because if he is just being that guy, it's like, whatever, we know to write him off. But if he's not being that guy, then there is a worry about contributing to it. You know, there is a worry about participating in his detriment. Sure. So that's why I'm like, when he said that, I was like, let me hold my, you know, no, let me hold my
peace. I felt that way, too.
Because I was like,
in the back of the head, I'm like, man, like, he's just... It's just been a different, he's just acted different lately, and you don't know. Like, there's always kind of that the devil and angel on the shoulder. Like, if you're a good person, you're going to believe him and what he said. You're not going to question anything because it's none of our business. But at the end of the day, just his actions as of late, it just seems like it's easy to question how genuine it is.
But now he is back with the team. He's back there, back on the court, taking shots. Speaking of taking shots, take three vaccinations, people. What else will the NBA ask black athletes to do to save the world? According to ESPN, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver said Tuesday, the league has discussed having players receive COVID-19 vaccines to educate and influence the public regarding their health, their safety and effectiveness. This comes just a few days after NBA legend Kareem Abdul-Jabbar made a public show of getting the vaccination, tweeting, "It's so important for all of us to get vaccinated." It was only months ago that players walked off the court to protest police brutality. And now Adam Silver is talking to health officials about the benefit to get some very high-profile African-Americans vaccinated to demonstrate to the larger community that it is safe and effective. This is on the backdrop of reports of side effects from receiving the vaccine and the fact that it has not actually been approved by the FDA. It was only approved after emergency use authorization. Plus confusion whether the vaccine works against new strains against the virus. I can say, as someone who has talked to several epidemiologists, they are very confident that it does work against the new strains, but we don't have that definite evidence at all. So it's a lot to be placed on athletes, just like it was a lot to be placed on athletes back in March when we needed them to kind of shut down the country, right? When we, hey, pull them off the court, and now we'll get the rest of the country to decide like, oh yeah, pandemic, this is happening, we should go inside. So Marcus, you yourself are an African-American. How do you feel about this burden?
I reject this idea that we just be out here doing stuff because athletes do it. Like, what the hell? Like, I mean, all right, maybe we buy a few sneakers or something, but we ain't out here Marcus, taking medical advice. Like, Kyrie got the shot.
Know,
I'm good.
Man,
like,
we decided to stay home because they had to stay home.
No, like, we clearly didn't, which is why we still got to stay at home.
All right, that's true.
This whole idea that somehow, like, because LeBron get a shot, I'm going to go to my doctor and be like, yo, let me get that LeBron vaccine. Like, that's not, I don't live in that part. I know there are two Americas. There must be a third where black people just run around, like, trying to do what Westbrook does. It's like, all right, like, they might have some influence over fashion choices and style, but that's because, like, you want to look cool and they're cool, right? But what the hell is cool about getting a vaccine? Ain't that cool about that? Like, you don't get style points for that. Unless we're gonna get it under our eyes so we can get like a Nelly Band-Aid and put over it. Like,
Marcus,
hold on,
Marcus. What if I slap a Supreme sticker on?
then here we go. Now we're promoting the materialization of our community when we don't need to be materialistic. So I got a problem with that too.
Yo, if I ever see a Supreme syringe, I'm out.
Right? Get the Louis Vuitton vaccine. Like,
it's already $4,000 on StockX right now.
You know what? If that's the case, if we are just following them like that, doing what they do, then I got a long list of things they should be doing if we just following them like that, right? Like, I got a list of things that we need to have NBA players out here doing in public. And it ain't going to a little baby party, right? It ain't wearing 58 chains, right? Let me see you buying stock. Let me see that part of you, right? Let me see the part of you where, you know what I'm saying, you finish your college degree, right? Let me see the part of you that's out here helping, be like, I want to see those parts if we out here just doing whatever Bradley Beal does. Get out of here with that.
Is anybody following Bradley Beal's footsteps? It's an interesting name drop. No, I'm with you. I think there is a group of people who do live and die by what some of these, I mean, come on, we live in a reality TV world. Are you telling me you don't see a bunch of Kardashians walking around Oakland? And I mean, shit, I see it in Flint. Like, they have no business wearing that $10,000 bracelet. I don't even know where they got it. It's probably a knockoff. Anyway, it's a different world that we live in. People follow these people. It's to me, it's a little weird, but I get it, especially kids. I don't know if they're necessarily doing this for the people that need to take the vaccine. Everybody needs to take it, but the people that have the choice, obviously, if you have a parent, or if you're a kid with a parent, that parent's going to make that decision. But for like the 28 and olders, I don't know if NBA players are moving the needle for you. And then on top of that, I think it's unfair to ask NBA players, any professional athlete, to do anything. I mean, whether it's social justice issues, whether it's something like this, if they want to do it, good, applaud, they should if they want to. I don't think it should be an expectation, like, if something happens, ooh, what are they going to do? They should do something. Oh, they didn't do something. Well, why didn't they do it? Like, I don't think the expectation should be there. I do think that if they want to do these things, whether it be, again, social justice issues, whether it is taking the vaccine to help show people that it's okay, then by all means, go ahead. I don't think there should be an expectation put on society by them to do these things.
Man, ain't nobody in Oakland trying to look like no Kim Kardashian. What the heck is you talking about? We out here trying to look like it ain't that many people around here. And we do have the injections and stuff. My bad.
I don't even mean that. Just like the get up. It's not even necessary. It's not only like,
but
the
that's
injections
to look cool though. Like, I get that to look cool. I got it. But like, you know, people aren't getting their credit score up because Steph got an 800. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Like the real life stuff. Ain't nobody doing that. You doing it because you think it makes you look cool, right? You doing it because it gives you some type of social capital, or I don't know. It just, people just aren't listening to every single thing these dudes do. I don't know how much of an effect is going to be because, you know, LeBron got vaccinated, now the lines will be long, right? Like, I don't know. I could be wrong. Like, hey, people got out and voted because the WNBA player said so. But, you know, I just don't see us saying, yo, doctor, like there won't be a line at CVS. Like, yo, let me get that. Let me get a pack of Newports
and the LeBron,
get a Black and Mild and a vaccine.
Yeah.
Well, we've been so bad at distributing the vaccine anyway, right? It's not like, even if there is a lie, we're just like throwing them away because we don't know how to do this. It's not like there's a shortage of vaccine. Apparently, there's too many because we just throw them away.
Just throw them away.
Like, that's a problem. You know, maybe more than like, hey, let's try to get athletes to be the influencers here.
The hilarious part, James, is that, like, you know, especially in the Black community, I don't know what happens in the other ones, but like, when somebody get chicken pox, everybody put their kid, like, you literally are infecting your child with chicken pox so they can get it out the way.
Right.
I got it like that. Like, hey, here you go. Put it over. Like, you want to cure me?
Go play with Tommy.
Yeah, he's got the chicken pox. Go get yours.
Help him scratch.
I just think that's hilarious, that juxtaposition of, I don't do vaccines, but yeah, hey, go get them chicken pox from homie. He got it. You need to get yours.
Yeah.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I wonder who will get the last shot in this country. Just like I wonder who will get the last shot for the Bucks. Take four. Ooh. Who's taking the last shot for the Milwaukee Bucks? Bucks and Nets were involved in a thriller on Monday's MLK Day, going down to the wire. Brooklyn prevailed after Chris Middleton missed a three-pointer from the corner. Bucks fans were a little surprised, or at least some of them were, that it wasn't Giannis getting that final shot, or maybe a Drew Holiday, or maybe somebody else. Now they've trusted Chris Middleton. Giannis had high praise for Harden and KD after the game, saying if you're not locked in against them, they're going to score 50. However, something interesting is starting to happen when teams play the Bucks. As the Nets showed on Monday, they really dared Giannis to shoot wide open threes. I mean, it was the Tony Allen treatment in every single way. DeAndre Jordan wasn't going anywhere near him. Now, DeAndre Jordan doesn't like to play defense anyway anymore, but he really wasn't going near Giannis, and he was just hanging out in the lane. It's a bizarre scenario with your Supermax superstar getting this kind of disrespect and that kind of dare towards this stuff. So, James, we'll start with you. Two things going on here. Can Giannis fix this whole strategy?
Oh, man.
And two, how are the Bucks going to beat the Nets in the playoffs? That's right. They're already behind the eight ball here.
When everybody was talking about last season's Bucks and how what they were doing wasn't going to make Giannis stay, they're coming up short in the big moments, and they're blaming Bud, rightfully so. He had some flaws. They're blaming the team around Giannis, rightfully so. They had some holes. At the end of the day, sometime we have to look at Giannis and realize that we have this guy who has a major flaw in his game. In a pace and space era where teams are going to let him shoot if he can't shoot, where he's going to have room to shoot, when everybody's building walls and clogging the lane against him, where shooting is going to be pivotal to his team's success, yet he can't shoot. We have to look at him and see it, and start putting some blame on him, because he is a guy that is going to have the ball in his hands. You want the ball in his hands, but teams have learned there's a formula on how to best stop it. And we've seen it in the playoffs. We've seen it in the regular season, specifically this year. And until he gets a jump shot, I don't know how far Milwaukee can go, because there's just going to be moments in games where you need your best player to make tough shots. And you can't just bully the lane and drive through every single time. As good as it looks in the regular season when he's playing Atlanta on a Tuesday night, it works. But there are certain teams, certain situations where it's just not always going to work. And until Giannis gets a jump shot, the Bucks, I don't know, man. I don't know if they have what it takes to get to the championship to win it. Chris Middleton's a guy that I think can hit some of those shots, but you still look and you want your two-time MVP. You want the guy that's arguably the most dominant player since Shaq to go out and do those things. And I just don't know if it's going to get done, what the Bucks hope to accomplish, until I think Giannis takes a look in the mirror. And it's not that he doesn't work on it. It's just naturally some guys can't shoot. But something has to be done in that regard. And I always thought it was a little unfair to place the blame everywhere else in those shortcomings in the playoffs when Giannis has a major flaw that has hurt the team.
Marcus, are Giannis's arms too long to shoot a jumper?
No, because are you watching Kelly Oubre stroke it with a 7'6" wingspan? It is definitely possible. Come on, Kelly Oubre is like raining threes. He had 23 on the Lakers. He's hitting threes like crazy now. He's up to like 30% in his last few games.
He's up to Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you saw where he was.
He got going against Detroit, actually.
By the way, still shooting 20% on the season.
I know, that's how bad it was. Yo, 1-for-30 skews your, or 2-for-30 skews
it does,
your.
That does hurt. Yeah,
it's going to be tough to bounce back from that. I actually, watching that game, I think it's true. I think it's still true. It's going to always be true that Giannis is going to be a difficult star to lean on at the end of games because of his shooting struggles, right? But I actually don't find that how that Bucks game ended to be the issue there. I actually thought they've run that play before. I think it's a really good play. It's a great answer for what you do with a guy like Giannis. They started him out by half court, got him running towards the basket, and they spaced the floor. He was wide open. Mm-hmm. Middleton just didn't see him. Like, or he didn't take the time to see him, but it actually worked. And that's what you have to do. They had Connaughton on the floor. They had Middleton on the floor. They had Holiday on the floor. They had enough shooting, so much so that the lane was wide open. So I think that's how you do it. Like, you kind of gotta, I mean, I know everybody wants to see the dramatic handle at the top, step back game winner. Dude, that's just not Giannis. And he's not going to be that guy. And if you expect him to be that guy, that's kind of on you, right? We see who he is, and they have to adjust to who he is. And if Middleton makes that pass, and he shot it, it was 2 seconds left, 2.3 seconds left. If plenty of time. If he makes that pass, Giannis gets the dunk, then we're having a whole different conversation. I don't think the criticism is wrong. I just don't think that game, well, that's not true either, because he was like not involved at all until that point and not shooting. But like, yo, he just need good teammates around him. Pretty much it. He needs shooting around him. And like, they went blow for blow with the Nets. I just don't know if it's that big of a deal, especially in the regular season. In a 7-game series, all right, it might be a struggle, but that's on Bud, man. That's on the coaches. That's on the people to figure this out. How do you maximize Giannis? The fact is, this is his skill set. So can you figure out a way to win with it, or can you not? I know there are a bunch of coaches, a bunch of organizations that would love to try. If they can't get it done, that's on them. But we can't expect Giannis to come out and shoot 30-foot step-back jumpers. It's just not who he is.
But you should expect him to make those open ones. I mean, the dude shot 5 threes a game for the last 2 years. At a point, you got to see some return on the investment. And I get what you're saying. Like, it's not, I'm not, I didn't.
Can I introduce you to Draymond Green? Like, you can win championships without.
You can.
There's a way to do it.
Right. Yeah. You got to have Stephen Clay next to you. He doesn't have that.
And Kevin Durant, right?
Yeah. And Kevin Durant. Exactly. So, I mean, maybe Giannis just goes to Brooklyn.
He chose that life.
No, he did. You're right. He did. I just.
Exactly. He said, no, keep me in Milwaukee. I don't want to go there.
I just think we need to see some more return on the investment for a guy that's shooting a good amount of threes a game to still only be shooting 30%. I'm not saying he should be shooting like 36%. I mean, again, he is. A lot of these threes are wide open. You should at least be at like 33, and that opens things up for you. You have to add that dimension to your game, and he works on it. Not saying that he doesn't. We all see it. He does it. He's working on it in the game. It's just at a point that has to turn a quarter, I think, for what the Bucks have and what they're stuck with. That needs to change for them to turn the corner.
I just think there was another way to win basketball games before Steph Curry ruined it. And that way is still probably pretty viable. That's all I'm saying. Like, there's another way.
I think this is more on Bud than it is on Giannis.
I agree with that.
By the way, on shots greater than 10 feet that are considered wide open, which is 6 feet or more of space between him and the closest defender, 29% this year.
See, that
29.
Okay, that's pretty bad. That's pretty bad.
That's really bad.
That's pretty bad. Again,
wide open shots.
Like, is that like 10 feet to 30? Is that all of them? Does that include threes?
Half court heaves. That's everything.
So I'm assuming it's like 60% inside the arc between up to 10 feet.
I mean, shit, if you take away the outside 10 feet.
Yeah.
It's only up to 33%.
If she looked different, she'd be pretty.
I'm trying to frame it so it's, you know, I'm trying to find the angle here.
Maybe that's just not good basketball. Speaking of not basketball, take five. That's not basketball. Trae Young has taken the spotlight off of James Harden in the new loophole foul department. A lot of chatter about whether Young stop, dribble, jump, bump into rear defender. That whole move that's drawing calls left and right from the refs is legal. In a game a couple weeks back against the Nets, Steve Nash, Trey's mentor, was furious, screaming at the refs, "That's not basketball," to which Trae Young responded, "I bet if I was playing for Steve, he'd be happy." Marcus, you've watched a lot of foul drawing over the years against the Golden State Warriors, that old James Harden move, right? We've seen a lot of this in the past. Sam Cassell was a master at this. Actually, Steve Nash, pretty good at this move of drawing these fouls a little bit. So, is this basketball or not?
Yes, it's basketball. It's the basketball that they've allowed to happen. And this is what Adam Silver allowed this is what David Stern started when they just decided to completely 1,000% disrespect defense, period. Like, this is, it's Trae Young, 5'11", 100 and nothing, right? Trying to figure out how to survive in this league. Yeah, why shouldn't he get to do it when everybody else get to figure out their little gimmicks and tricks? Like, I'm not mad at Trey for it, but you can look at this and see, like, there's just no respect for defense, and that's league mandated. None. Like, you telling me that the defender can't be behind the offensive player, giving up the play, letting him go, and he still gets the foul? Like, that's just a metaphor for how the league sees defenders, period. Like, somehow you simply just can't touch a guy with the ball. And that's league mandated. So, yeah, this your bed. Yeah, absolutely, Trey. Come up with all the little gimmicks you can until they decide to start respecting defense.
I'm with Marcus. It is what it is. This is the NBA. The whole point is to pimp the system and to trick the refs, as we see it night in and night out. I mean, obviously, Harden is the one that's kind of the poster boy for it. But you can look at many other. I mean, how many times do we see the rip up three, or the as soon as you come off the screen and you feel contact, you just flail up a three? It is what it is. That's the game today, and Trae Young has done a great job of taking advantage of that. I'm glad that he called out Steve. When Steve said that, I was thinking about that. I'm like, I remember Steve doing that all the time, and
he was great at that.
Like, yeah. I love that about
especially
Steve.
In transition, right? Yes, like, just yes, run and yep. just stop, right? Yeah,
exactly. And Trey has found a way for a guy that, I mean, he has obviously a great shooter. He's quick, but a guy that is small, for him to absorb contact and find ways to get to the line without getting hurt. Like, it's smart for him. And it's part of the game, man. Everybody's trying to trick the system. And this is the kind of the growth of a young guy who is learning that in real time. And we're seeing that. And there's always going to be that point where those young superstars learn how to get to the line more. That's something you always talk about with coaches. How do you take that step to get to the line more? And Trey's figured it out while staying right. healthy.
Let me pull the pin and throw a grenade into the conversation.
Yes. Okay?
James Harden gets a lot of flack for this. Trae Young gets a lot of flack for this. You know who doesn't get a lot of flack for flopping all over the place? Nikola Jokic, Luka Doncic. Yes. Marcus, thoughts?
Oh, man. I wonder if there was a common thread here.
They play hard.
Give me a time. They're big. Oh, okay. Yeah, you know, they're big. And big guys get beat up a lot. Yeah. Big guys get beat up a lot. And because of it, they get to react. Over club, this is the Shaq thing, right? Yeah, this is the whole.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, the refs can't see it because they're so big. They absorb it a lot. The refs can't see it, so they kind of got to embellish it to show the ref, hey, this is happening, right? So they kind of get the pass. That's kind of the difference. Right, James?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. It's there's also a let me toe the line.
Zach tried to set us up, right?
There's always a
no. You, Marcus, so you have an ally in this conversation. No, I'm with you.
There's definitely stigma. It is what it is. I mean, James Harden, and it's also I think it just annoys people when it's Harden doing it too. Just to use him because again, he is the poster boy. It's the slow. It's monotonous. He's sitting there just dribbling and dribbling and dribbling and dribbling, and it's like nobody likes watching this. This type of basketball. I mean, most people do, but there are some people who do not enjoy this and do not call it basketball, and it's just aesthetically unpleasing all around. And then you throw in the fact that he gets fouled all the time and baits these guys. It's an uproar of epic proportions. And I think it's a style of play for him that probably highlights it a little bit more than some of the other guys too.
I just think this whole idea that you touched him, you can't do that. Like, that's what it's all based on. Like, you touch, but off the ball, you can do whatever you want. But if you got the ball in your hand, James Harden literally puts the ball down low and brings his arms up. And if you touch him, it's a foul. Like, you literally can't touch him while he does that. Like, that's NBA. Like, that's, they've mandated this. LeBron, every single time he drives, he leads with his arm. His left, it's like a dribbling rhythm. Push, push, mm-hmm. push. Push. He gets to do it. It's fine because he's got the ball. But when you don't have the ball, you can't do anything. Like, mm-hmm. this is what they wanted. This is what they created. So this is what they got. Like, either change it or live with it. But you can't just completely disrespect defense. Like, even a defensive player of the year, like, how long was it just, yo, who got the most rebounds and blocks? Like, nobody cares. Right. Nobody right. cares about this. That's what they did. That's what the league set it up. And, you know, maybe they need to rethink that. So I'm my anger about it is definitely not at Trey or James Harden, not even at Jokic and Luka. It's at the fact that they don't respect defense.
Yeah, it's the way it's called, right? Like, if it's gonna get called that way, James, every single time, like, why not exploit it? Oh, I can get free points here.
Exactly. Like,
if I just do this,
it's the way the system is set up. And if there's a way to exploit it, like, why not? I think every single one of us, if we had the capabilities to do that, would do that. I think a lot of the players in the league, if they had the usage and the opportunity within their offense to do that stuff, they would. It's basketball. This is what they wanted. This is what they got. And guys have found a way to, again, trick the system.
I think it's toughest when you get those calls around the restricted area, right? Speaking of the restricted area, new episode up this Thursday on the Athletics YouTube channel. Restricted area starring myself and Wozni Lambre this week. We're going over the top duos in the NBA. Now that the Brooklyn Nets have a big three, we're ranking the top duos out there. So Brooklyn Nets need not apply. How about that, Marcus?
Is Oubre and Wiggins in it?
You know what? Click to find out. Click and watch all the way through to bump up those metrics and find out. And make sure you subscribe to the Athletics YouTube channel, Marcus, okay?
Zach, you're not getting out of here without telling us why you think Jokic and Doncic and the like don't get paid for it.
Oh, they're white. All right, that's going to do it for this week's Point of Contention on the NBA Show. Thanks to Marcus Thompson. Thanks to James Edward III. Thanks to Jade Oil. I'm Zach Harper. Keep it locked in on the Athletic Podcast Network.